Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hotty toddy, Ole Miss fans, and welcome to the Brad and Chad Show, an Ole Miss Network production. This is the show by and for Ole Miss fans, where you'll get expert insight and analysis on Ole Miss athletics. And now, here are your hosts, former Rebels Chad Flowers and retired NFL star Brad Sowell.
Brad and Chad Show brought to you by Blue Delta Jeans, recording on March 13th. March Madness is upon us. The women's basketball team head to the big dance. Obviously, the men are starting up. We got some big Ole Miss basketball news to talk about. Baseball's about to start conference play. Whole much going on. Bradley, how are you on this Monday, man?
Good, man. All I can think about is just doing a run and jump onto grandma's bed behind you. Yeah. And like seeing if like I could completely collapse it. Cause back when I was a kid, you know, I was a fat little kid and like, we didn't have like heavy duty beds. So like that was my mom's biggest thing. Dude, you go run and jump on one of my beds growing up, that thing's fucking flatlined. So
yeah, I'm back. I'm actually in Mississippi right now. Me and my buddies, we had a big fantasy baseball draft this past week, and I'm the commissioner. So 16 of us got together, drank, had a good time, and
you flew all the way to Mississippi for a fantasy baseball draft.
We've been in this league for over 20 years. And yeah, every year, even since I've been out in Sacramento, I'm the commissioner, right? So I got to make that presence, right? I am the voice of reason in this whole thing. So yeah, we come out, we do a big auction draft at the Blue Delta factory, Blue Delta Jeans. Thank you for allowing us to do it in your factory there. But yeah, I fly in every year and, yeah, it's a hell of a time. It's one of the best days of the year.
You're what's wrong with sports.
I have never dude, said anything to a player via social media.
You know my thought on fantasy. There has been multiple times where we have lost a big game and I'm walking off the field and some just guys hanging over the ledge screaming, Tariq Cohen, you freaking suck. You cost me my fantasy game. And like, that's the last thing that players give two shits about. Is your fantasy league. So
we're more than respectful over here, man. I've never said anything on social media. Now granted, I've said plenty behind their back, but they don't give a shit about me, so it doesn't matter. Yeah, you know, it's just it's a way to make it fun, right? And there's money involved, right? It's just like gambling, so hell, it's have a good time with it.
Well, my favorite of the people used to hit you up, man. Like, okay, what do you think? Like, I'm like, I don't know. Like, I play O-line. I don't know. I don't even know who's getting the ball this week. Like, I have no clue. I'm blocking the hardest guy. I have no freaking clue who's getting fantasy points or how that works, dude. So find someone else, not me.
Yeah, it's just a way to kind of feel like you're involved, kind of have that GM hat on, that type of thing, make trades, all those things. Yeah, I mean, it's nerdy for a lot of people. But like I said, it's something that we've enjoyed doing for years, and we had a hell of a time the other night.
What is it, baseball? Is it baseball?
Yeah, fantasy baseball, yeah. So
How does that work? You can just – do you get to draft like a lineup, a full lineup? And
yeah, you draft a full team, and it's we do it with – you know, there's so many different variations, but we do it with daily transactions. So every day we set our lineup. If there's a guy playing – or if there's a matchup we like better, we put them in. We play head-to-head, so each week we play a different person, so there's a good shit-talking component to it. Hey, I got you this week. We're going to try to knock you off. You know, most home runs, most RBIs, stolen bases, all that. Then you play somebody else the next week. Yeah, so that's how it goes.
Gotcha. Wow, that is intense. I guess I'm to the point now where I could look into some fantasy or some gambling.
Yeah, you're not doing anything else.
Just softball, you know. Can I bet on 10-year-old softball teams? No, I'm kidding.
Yeah. I'm sure you could find some people that would gamble with you on that. You know, obviously the big news, you know, this morning it's been announced. I haven't seen terms of a contract yet, but hey, Chris Beard is the new head coach of the Ole Miss men's basketball team. And, you know, we've talked about this for a couple weeks now. If we're just talking from a basketball perspective, you could not ask for a bigger home run. Hell, it's a walk-off grand slam if we're talking about what it does for the program in terms of getting someone with, you know, he's got a resume, right? And that's something that, you can't really say about previous coaches. Yeah, you know, we've had some guys that have done well at some mid-major schools, but Chris Beard's done it in the Big 12, which is arguably the best conference in the country, and now he's coming to Oxford. Yes, there's some warts with the whole situation, but he's coming whether you like it or not, and you've got to think that Ole Miss is going to be able to at least build something that can take them back to the tournament here in just a matter of a couple of years.
Yeah, well, here's the thing, man. Like, obviously, we had the incident happen. It was, you know, it was handled privately, publicly, whatever you want to call it. It's a fresh start for him, right? Hey, I'm sure that there was a full vetting process, knowing Keith and them. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that they looked the man in the eyes. And, hey, it's a fresh start, right? If he comes into Ole Miss, has a clean slate, does well, wins, you know, doesn't have any issue. Like, dude, it's a great hire. He's a great basketball coach. He won at Texas Tech. He's won everywhere he's been. And, yeah, I want to see where you stand on this, too. I know a lot of the players have been entering the portal, some of our main players. And my stance on that is this. I don't care, right? Like, I don't care if we lose any of these guys that we just went 12 and 21 with. Like this, yeah. This coach is hopefully bringing in a totally different style of player and going to get his own players, right? This first year or two, I don't know what's going to happen. Basketball maybe turns around quicker because it's not as many players. But, like, dude, if they all go. You know, I mean, it is what it is. I do not care about the players that are currently leaving. People are freaking out about. I don't. I think he's going to bring in much, much higher quality players.
Yeah, you know, anytime you have talent, you want to keep talent, right? Because that's something that's not hard, not easy to come by. Because, you know, for all of Kermit's criticisms, he did bring talent. Now, he didn't get everything that we want out of that talent on the court. So you do want to keep as many players that you think are going to be helpful. But I'm kind of with you. In the day and age of the transfer portal, especially for rosters that are much small like they are in basketball, you got to think that Chris Beard's going to be able to get some pretty good talent in just based off of his pedigree. Hell, he's got relationships. We don't even know what type of assistant coaches he's going to be bringing in. So I'm kind of with you right there. You know, it's not like we have to replace a 53-man roster, however many players you get in football. It's, you know, 12, 13, 14 players. Obviously, you don't want to have to do that every year. But for a situation like this, yeah, I'm kind of with you. I don't think it's going to be that huge of a deal if all of them leave. Maybe some of them stay, like your Morrell, who's been mentioning to go to Memphis. Yeah, I'm okay with it. I think that he's going to be able to kind of cherry pick. Hell, he may be able to get some players from Texas, right? Since he recruited them to Texas. Yep. And obviously he's not there now. And who knows what type of assistant coaches he may bring from Texas. So yeah, it's going to be interesting to see what kind of relationships he's able to lean on in this situation. From all I can tell, the previous coaches he's worked with still think highly of him, and they're still going to be rumored to coming to Oxford too. So yeah, I don't really think that it's going to be a huge deal in terms of bringing that type of talent back into.
So I also wonder too. So if you look at Ole Miss in general, we've never really, I mean, other than the pavilion, you know, really never invested heavily into basketball. I would love to know what the discussions were like between Carter and Beard of like, hey, are we going to actually, you know, are we going to actually figure out a way to get some real NIL money? If you want to build it, I mean, at the end of the day, listen, he's a great coach, but like, if we don't invest a little bit into some NIL and basketball, which I'm hoping this sparks some new, hey, sure. Like, I mean, like if I had it and I saw Chris Beer getting hired, sure enough, I would be supporting that. You know what I mean? And it's nothing against Kermit. I love Kermit. Kermit's a great guy, but you know, a whole new fresh coach. You've seen what he's done before. It's a whole new excitement. So if I had to guess, now there's somebody or something, you know, behind some NIL for basketball as well that could pick up, and this could create the spark that we need to really turn the basketball program around for us.
I would argue he doesn't come if that commitment wasn't there.
I agree.
Because let's be honest, right? Everybody's looking at Ole Miss as like, oh, wow, y'all don't really give a shit. You'll take anybody. And okay, you can make that argument, but guess what? There would be plenty of other power schools that would be taking that same look if Ole Miss didn't into Chris Beard, and they would have hired him too. And if you want to keep a Chris Beard, then you better have some infrastructure in place to get some excitement and get some money into the program. Because if not, he's shown he'll leave for other jobs, right? He went from Little Rock to UNLV. He was there for like 2 weeks and then went to Texas Tech. And then after a few years, he went to Texas. So he's not afraid to take a better job. And I'm not saying that I expect Chris Beard to be here 5 years, 10 years, anything along those lines. I don't expect that because it's still – football's always going to be king in Oxford unless he just does something amazing, which is always possible. But if he's not coming, if that investment is not being made to not only his staff, him, and then the NIL stuff that you're referring to here. So I imagine that has to be a huge component, or else we're not even having this conversation right now.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see that contract too, to see kind of what they did to get him there. If I had to guess, I mean, they're probably paying him well. You obviously got Kiffin making money, so Jimmy Sexton has had his way with Keith, and this could get fun, man. So, but at the end of the day, you know what though? Kudos to Keith for saying, you know what? Like, I can tell you right now, Kiffin, Beard, and Keith are you couldn't have three different individuals. But like, kudos to Keith for saying, you know what, like. It's about winning, baby. Al Davis said it a long time ago, just win, right? Just win. And it sucks to have that motto, but like you can say all you want about the character stuff, the issues. I mean, dude, listen, in sports, it's for everything that you've heard that's happened, that's been reported, there's 50 other worse things out there going on. Like, come on. Like it's sports or bottom line win. And that's just, it's sad, but that's the way it is. And that's you got to win. You got to win. So
yeah, and frankly, in most sports, especially football, in basketball, and before long, probably football, Ole Miss is going to have to make these types of decisions to keep up with the Joneses in this conference, yep. Right? It's not getting easier with powers like Oklahoma and Texas coming in. I don't care that Texas hasn't been great in football, but they're going to have more resources than God when they come into the conference, right?
Speaking of Texas football, I don't want to go off subject here, but do you see where Arch Manning is? Competing, so the coach basically came out and said that Arch Manning and the other guys competing for the starting job. Now that's I guess apparently he's looked really good, since he's been there. So it'll be interesting to see if he actually. I mean, if he were to start, I think he may be a little better than everybody's giving him credit for.
Yeah, if he's already at that point, then I agree with you. But real quick, back to Beard. I can't help but feel a little bit gross about how I think the thing that I'm most upset about is how bad the program had gotten to the point where you have to make a decision like this. Once again, obviously from a basketball perspective, this is a home run hire. But because the program was so in the dumps, that's where you have to make these types of decisions, right? You don't have anybody that wants to come. Hell, even mid-major coaches don't want to come to Ole Miss because – shit, that's going to kill my chance to get a better job at maybe my alma mater or a coach that I know I can be successful at, right? So it's kind of it sucks in a way that it got to this point. Granted, we may end up being happy because of the results that are showing on the court, but like I said, it feels a little greasy, like you said, just win, baby. We have no moral high ground anymore at Ole Miss, that's for sure.
There is no moral high ground in sports, period. You're right. I don't care. Even if you claim there is, there isn't. There isn't you're a moral right. high ground, man. Like, it just is what it is, dude. Like, they can come out. Actually, that used to always be my favorite thing about the NFL and stuff. Is people, we're looking for good character guys. We're looking for this.
Right.
Come on, man. Like, well, why is it that this wide receiver that can run a 4.3 slap his wife and it go under the rug, and then one dude who like literally gets a speeding ticket and he's an undrafted guy and he's cut? Yep. Like, come on, dude. Like let's not play this. Like you ain't cutting your good player off character and stuff. So, yeah, man, it is what it is, dude. That's just where we're at. And he's getting a fresh start. So let's give him his chance, right? Like, who cares what happened in the past? If he does great at Ole Miss and is a great, let's go, baby. Let's win some basketball games. So I'm gonna tell you right now, it's just like anything else. If Ole Miss has a great arena, they have a great practice facility. It's a great campus. If Ole Miss invests money into basketball, the results will come, right? Mm-hmm. I just don't feel like that. There's been I just don't feel like that's been the case over some odd years. And, hell, we can go out and buy five players if you put the money to it, right? Like, it's no different than any other school. So we can turn this around quickly.
Before we leave the Beard conversation, let me ask you this. Is there another SEC school that has a better main three head coaches with Lane Kiffin, Mike Bianco, Chris Beard?
That'd be tough.
I can't think, maybe Tennessee, considering what Heupel did in football. Yeah. Obviously got Rick Barnes and then, but it's a – that is a pretty nice top three you have there. Obviously, not everybody has won to the extent that your Georgia football, Alabama football, Kentucky basketball. But collectively, those three, that's a pretty damn good resume for what those three have done.
Yeah, we'll see. We gotta see if the Beard and Kiffin will have some good nights on the square. We're going to have a watchdog for them.
Yeah, for sure. I'm sure that there's going to be plenty of people that are keeping their eye out to make sure that everybody keeps their nose clean. Sticking with basketball real quick, hey, congratulations to Coach O and the women's team. For the second straight year, they're going to the Big Dance. They're going to be going to actually my neck of the woods. They'll be playing up in Stanford, playing Gonzaga on Friday on Stanford's campus. So hell of a job for them. They're going to be playing on Friday. If they win, they get a chance to play the top seed in their bracket, Stanford. But yeah, hell of a job. And once again, that program was hell worse than where the men's team, the men's program is right now. That program was hit with sanctions and everything due to academic issues and everything. So what she's done in just a short period of time is nothing short of incredible. So really awesome thing to see and hear about.
Yeah, you see Gonzaga was the freaking 20 something and four, and they're a damn nine seed. That's odd, but
I think when we start getting to strength of conference and what the type of schedule they play, because I don't know how good the West Coast Conference is on the women's side. Obviously, on the men's side, you got Gonzaga, St. Mary's, but then again, it's still kind of top heavy. I would imagine that's the same on the women's side as well. So. Yeah. But yeah, I think they're ranked. I think they're a ranked team. You know, you mentioned their record, so it's not going to be an easy walk in the park for them. But once again, just continue to make those steps and those strides, they're becoming one of the better programs in the SEC, which I didn't think would be possible 5, 6, 7 years ago. Mm-mm. Now on the men's side, obviously we talked about Ole Miss, but are you a bracket guy? Do you fill out a bracket every year for the NCAA tournament?
I used to. So my biggest thing was collecting those bottle caps. Remember, if anyone remembers back in the day, you would go get a Coke and it would have a team underneath it.
Oh, I'd forgotten about that.
And no joke, one year I got a freaking bottle cap that had Duke under it. And okay. I'll be damned. So if you won, if you had that bottle cap and you sent it in, you got a jersey.
Okay.
So I'll be damned if I didn't get Duke one year. And I would go get those things trying to collect them when I was younger.
Sure.
I'll be damned if I didn't get Duke one year and they won the thing, dude. And I had a freaking – I sent it in and got the damn Duke jersey. So, I follow it, but probably not as much as I did when I was a kid. You're trying to collect them bottle caps to get those damn jerseys every year. But I may fill out a bracket. I don't know. But I'll follow along. I'll watch it once it gets past the first couple rounds.
Yeah, the Thursday and Friday of the first weekend of the tournament is probably the best. Now, for employers, definitely not, because nobody's paying attention to what they should actually be doing work-wise. But, man, just sitting there plopping in front of that TV or your computer following along, seeing the upsets as they happen. What's crazy is, you know, Alabama, they're the number one seed in the entire tournament. You know, obviously thought about as a football school for so long. Nate Oates has got it turned around on the basketball. Now, obviously, there's been some controversy on their end as well, if you've been following along with the Brandon Miller story. A lot of debates happened about whether or not he should be even playing. If you haven't heard, there was an incident where another teammate, Darius Miles, and a friend of his got into an altercation involving a firearm, which was seemingly driven to them by Miller. Now, according to all of the police reports, he was not aware of what the gun was going to be used for. That I've even seen stories he didn't know the gun was in his backseat under a pile of clothes. That was the story that was said. But unfortunately, a mother of a five-year-old lost her life. I think she was the girlfriend of the boyfriend that they were having some issues with in one of the restaurants in Tuscaloosa. But the big argument has been, you know, we talk about that moral high ground. The big argument has been, should Brandon Miller even be on
answer
the court?
Answer me this, Chad. Yeah, this will be an easy one. If Jonathan Hess had the same issue, would he still be on the sideline with his fire extinguisher?
Well, I'm conflicted on this, right? The police have said there's nothing we can charge him with. There's nothing that he did wrong. Right? Because let me ask you this. In a very Second Amendment state like Alabama, if somebody even called you and said, hey, can you bring me my gun? I'm worried about my safety. What jury is going to convict? Okay, now obviously we don't know what conversations had between Miller and his teammates, anything along those lines. We don't know what he did or didn't know. But on the surface, when you look at the story, right, I could lie to you and say that, hey, I've got somebody threatening me. Who's going to say that, yeah, you can't, you're allowed to have your gun in that situation, and somebody just brought, and it wasn't Brandon Miller's gun. That was a big misconception in some of the stories that were coming out there. It was not his gun. It was somebody else's. So it wasn't registered to him, because obviously if I give you my gun and you do something with it, I should be liable. Whether or not that would happen is another story. So if the police have said that there is nothing that they can convict him with, I can't see it. Now, granted, I understand your point. He's got more talent than anybody in college basketball. He's the best college basketball player in the nation. He's going to play. But I can't say that he absolutely did something wrong, which would necessitate him having to sit out, if that makes sense.
It kind of brings you to my other point. If you follow the Ja Morant story as well, yeah. Which I don't know much. I don't know enough about the Alabama story to. I've only seen what's reported. I don't trust what's reported nowadays. Just be completely honest. But like, you know, you're at college. You're one of the best players in the country. You're getting a great education. Mm-hmm. Same thing with Ja Morant. You made $200 something million. Like, get away from the bullcrap, right?
Absolutely. Now we can get away from it.
Like, you are better in your life here. You should not even be involved in stuff like this. You should be worried about school, ball. I mean, involved with guns and stuff. I mean, obviously, I don't know all the details of the story, but like, come on, guys. Like this is ridiculous, man. Like, I mean, do you want to? You know, you're playing this. You're working your ass off to get to a certain point. You know, it just reminds me of, you know, I love Greg Hardy, played with him. You know, I understood him a little bit better than most people. But same thing with Greg, you know, I mean, I love the guy, but I mean, he should have made $150 million. He'd be sitting on a yacht right now somewhere on his own island, retired. He was leading the NFL in sacks. But, you know, you have to, for whatever reason, you still feel like you have to do certain things that don't really coordinate with what your actual goal or what you're working for. And, you know, I mean, geez, man, like it's really sad. It's all sad because people are setting themselves up for generational wealth and, mm-hmm. and really, you know, make a difference in the community. And hell, I want to go to strip clubs. I want to get, you know, have guns. And you know, dude, you don't need a gun. You have enough money to hire a security team. Like you're chilling. You're stress free. Why do you want to go live like that? I don't effing know, but it's the most frustrating thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, absolutely. The decision making about the company you keep is something that needs to be highlighted on when you're counseling these athletes and what they're their steps are going to be in the professional levels, because a lot of them can be leeches, right? I mean, you can probably speak to this far better than I can, but they see it as a meal ticket, right? And whether or not they're a good influence or not doesn't matter to them, because they're along for the ride. And if you've got the money, and I came from a background with very little money, hey, I'm going to stick with it and let you do whatever you want to and not tell you no, because you're providing me with the fun that I've never got to have before, right? And so... Mm-hmm. If anything can be dinged, it may be his judgment. Now, granted, it was his teammate, so I don't know what type of relationship they had before. But yeah, like I said, I can't see a reason for him not to play. It's a terrible situation, obviously, for, you know, a mother passed away being shot. Mm-hmm. Now, they've made some stupid – the University of Alabama has made some stupid optic decisions, right? You know, one of the things that came out after this story – you know how in basketball, when they're doing the player, you know, the lineups, they'll come out and they'll do like a series of handshakes or whatever. Well, the one that they did with Brandon Miller was like a pat down. Now, the argument that they made was they've been doing that before, and it was kind of like a TSA thing where you're cleared for takeoff type thing. But regardless, you got to read the room, folks. How can you not see that that's going to raise the ire of everybody that's already looking at you? You got to have, and Nate Oates said that's not going to happen again. Jesus Christ, dude, that should have been, that you should have taken notice of that they were doing that to begin with. So it absolutely isn't going to happen again if it was happening before the whole incident. So obviously from a PR perspective, there have been a lot of mistakes that were made on that front. But like, if we get down to the brass tacks of should he play or not, I can't see a reason why he shouldn't. So,
yeah.
That's the way I take it. But real quick, do you have a favorite in the tournament? If you were going to pick someone to win it all, who do you like?
It's a new year, and that means setting new goals for yourself and your family. And there's no better time to throw financial goals into the mix, because the past year has been stressful for lots of people, me included. So why not take this opportunity to reevaluate where you are financially and where you want to be down the road? And that's where my friend Thomas Chandler comes in. Thomas is a financial planner with Capital Financial Group and wants to help you set your financial goals and work towards a more secure financial future. So give him a call today at 662-296-0186 for a no-cost consultation. That's Thomas Chandler at 662-296-0186 to get started today on your journey to financial health today. And Ole Miss fans, Morgan Wallen is bringing his One Night at a Time tour to Vaught-Hemingway Stadium April 22nd and April 23rd. Tickets for both nights are still available and start at just $78. To purchase, visit morganwallen.com. That's morganwallen.com. The car buying process can be a lot. I know, I've been there. You just want to get in and out with a new car and the best deal. Simple. Alan Samuels Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Oxford keeps it simple. They're going to take care of you, get you in and out with your new vehicle with a great deal. Their inventory right now is priced to sell, and what separates Allen Samuels Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Oxford from any and all competitors is they aim to address each of your needs with the utmost respect, care, and attention to detail. Contact them today at 662-234-8000. That's 662-234-8000. Stop by and see them in person at 2201 East University Avenue in Oxford. That's Allen Samuels Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram of Oxford to find your next perfect car, truck, or Jeep. Allen Samuels, let's be friends.
Here in Oxford, Mississippi, golf matters. For the Ole Miss Rebels, the casual looking to knock out a quick 18. Yes, we care about the fit when we hit the course, and PXG Apparel has something for everyone. Me? You Talk of Champions listeners know I'm a daily hat wearer, and especially at University Course or Oxford Country Club. PXG has mastered a snapback for any type of weather or occasion. My navy goes with pretty much everything. Point is, PXG has you covered for any and all golf attire, making sure the fit is right in all the right places. Made with premium materials and technology designed for peak performance, these confidence-inspiring looks invite all-day play, taking you seamlessly from a round of golf to the office to a night on the square. Elevate your style game on and off the course with the PXG Spring-Summer 2024 collection. Head over to pxg.com/TOC and use code TOC for Talk of Champions at checkout to save 10% on all apparel. That's pxg.com/TOC and use code TOC at checkout to save 10% on all apparel.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Do you like Alabama? Are you going
to
take
them? I'll tell you, I'm going to go back to this Duke thing, dude. Well, I watched the ACC championship the other night, and I just I love Duke. So Duke's hot right now.
They are hot.
The Trapinski guy or whatever, he just is a baller. And then you got the coach who actually played there. So, like, I'm low-key rooting for them. Mm-hmm. Now, I doubt they win. I don't think they have what it takes to go all the way, but they are hot right now, dude. They're won like 8 in a row or something.
Yeah.
They played very well versus Virginia. That's who I'm rooting for, okay? Just as far as, yeah, I like following Duke. I love Duke basketball. But, you know, I don't know. That's what I'm going for. I don't know. Who do you got winning?
I'm going to say it's going to be one of the one seeds, right? I don't think it's going to be Alabama. For some reason, I'm sure Kansas can win it again. They won it last year. I wouldn't be surprised if Kansas won again. But if you're going to hold my feet to the fire, I'm going to say UCLA. I'll take UCLA.
To say that. So after that game, I watched UCLA, Arizona, and UCLA is.
I think Arizona beat them on like a last second shot or something. But UCLA,
they're loaded. They're loaded, and Arizona's not bad either. Arizona's got the Larson kid and a couple others that are really impressive as well. I will say this though, UCLA, when they get rolling, they're going to be tough to beat.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, that's basketball. Let's talk baseball here in just a second. But before we do that, let's talk about Jeff Griffin with the Stevenson Griffin Group at Baird Private Wealth Management. You can go to their group's website, stevensongriffingroup.bairdwealth.com, or give them a call at 662-841-1900. Another good weekend for the baseball team. You know, they played Purdue. Hell, they played 10 games against Big Ten opponents. They went 9-1. They swept Purdue. I don't know how good Purdue is in the Big Ten realm, but wins are wins. I'm starting to get a little bit more concerned about the pitching situation. Yeah, Hunter Elliott's supposed to be back sometime in April. It's starting to look like that can't come soon enough. Doherty pitched okay early on Friday night, ended up giving up 6 runs. Sonnier pitched okay, but it's still, his walks are killing him. Now, Rivas pitched really well yesterday.
Yeah, he did.
Lock it up. They won 6-1, but the pitching staff, some bullpen arms are coming out to look okay. Tecoyan looks okay.
I'll tell you where I am with it. You tell me if you agree. You tell me if you agree with the statement. I am – okay, so I am all in on this baseball team. I think they're freaking awesome, right?
Yep.
But in the back of – it's just like when Ole Miss was 7-0, right, in football.
Okay. Yep.
Like, you know that there's some issues there, but you really want to ignore them because we're kicking ass and taking names.
Yeah.
But in your head, you're going, man, I looked at our schedule. Our first 5 SEC series.
Not great.
Oh, here's my question. Here's the honest question. You can repeat this later on. Here's the honest question. are we going to still be able to hit SEC pitching the way we are while giving up this many runs? That's going to be the difference, you know, and that's in my head. I know, I mean, we're probably, you know, we're 13-2, almost going to be 14-2 going, or maybe 15. Yeah, 14-2, maybe 15-2, probably after this week going to SEC play, which is close to that 16-1, you know, that when the season got canceled. So we're pretty much right there with another chance at it. Offense, unbelievable. I think it's one of the best offense Ole Miss ever had.
Dude, Kemp Alderman, he hit 118 miles an hour on Saturday.
Kemp's on some other shit. He's on some good old Mississippi, like, that's some straight meat and potatoes right there. That is unbelievable watching that kid hit. He's hitting him off the end of the bat going, you know, 113 oppo just over the wall off the end of the bat. Yeah. So I will say this, though. In the back of my head, now, what's keeping me from getting extremely excited, and I think Hunter Elliott returning would help.
It would, absolutely.
Big time. And hopefully that issue's gone. And maybe if we can get Maddox back at some point, I don't know. I mean, I know he's rehab and all that. I am concerned, though, when we get an SEC and we're facing these dogs every night that can pitch. Can we get, you know, can we keep up? Yeah, I don't know, and we'll see. We're about to find out quick. We're about to F around and find out quick. So
yeah,
It'll be interesting.
Yeah, we're headed to Nashville this weekend. I think it's a Thursday night start. So it'll be Thursday, Friday, Saturday against Vanderbilt. Now Vanderbilt is not the same power that they've been, but Vanderbilt can always pitch it, and that's going to kind of lead into what you're saying there is. We're going to find out real quick how good this offense really is, right? Because, you know, one of the worst offensive performances we had this year was that Friday night game against Maryland when they came to Oxford and we faced a really good pitcher, a sinker baller. So, you know, there's at least some precedent, very small, because the offense has been unbelievable this year. Yeah. But, you know, good pitching shuts down good hitting. And we're going to see real quick, like you're saying, how good this offense has really been. But to your point, man, the transfers have been incredible. Some of the freshmen have been incredible. Gonzalez has been good. Harris, I mean, everybody's contributing, which is crazy to say. Yeah. You can argue that Leger has been probably the weakest, and he's still been pretty good at the plate. But, yeah, I'm really worried about the freshmen in the bullpen, which it's going to be good for future seasons, but for the right now, having to rely on freshmen to get key innings in SEC competition is usually not a recipe for success. Thankfully, they've been baptized a little bit by fire. More fire is on the way if they can't figure things out, because you've got Vanderbilt and then you've got Florida coming to town. Both of them have had exceptionally good starts to the season. And then, correct me if I'm wrong, we've got, I want to say Arkansas, LSU, State maybe in that. So, yeah, it tapers off a little bit towards the end when you start getting into – I mean, they're still going to be good teams, but your Georgias, your Alabamas, who are not as good – I think Alabama's actually been better this year, but still, the point stands. These first five series are really going to let us know we might have been buying those tickets to Omaha a little prematurely, because we've still got some things to figure out, especially on the pitching front.
Yeah, so it reminds me a little bit of that Arizona team that was real good that beat us to go to Omaha.
Yeah.
They hit real well, but really didn't pitch it all. I mean, maybe we are that team. I don't know. But we shall see. I will tell you this. We are, you know, right now we're currently the Big Ten champ. So
yeah, we really are.
There's a chance we're going to have more Big Ten wins than half their conference this year. So that was fun. But I'm afraid that Big Ten pitching is nothing like what we're about to see.
No, it should ramp up really quick, and it'll be fun to see how they do in Nashville this weekend. So yeah, that'll be fun to watch. You know, transitioning now, you know, we've kind of covered a lot of the Ole Miss stuff. Let's talk a little football. Your Bears, we talked about it in some previous weeks. Dude, they did it, right? They moved out of the number one spot. Now, I know that you wanted to move away from Justin Fields, but they got him another weapon. DJ Moore, Claypool. And then you got Cole Kmet as your tight end. Those are some pretty good pass catchers. It kind of goes to the point of, if he can't do it with these weapons we're putting in front of him, then it will be easier to move on from him, right?
Yeah. It's kind of like an army tank, you know. That army tank's driving, you got all the gunners sitting around it, and the one driving it can't damn steer. He's just yeah. I don't know. I mean, I text some of my Chicago buddies and just tell them, hey, like, it doesn't matter who we bring in. Like, you still got to be a throw it to him, right? Like, yeah. I mean, and the kid, I mean, I like Justin Fields. He's a good kid, but, like, He looks like a running back playing quarterback. I mean, he's gonna get blasted. That just doesn't survive long. I mean, look at Lamar Jackson. He gets hurt all the time. Like the running quarterback, dude, they just get hit too hard, and the guys are just too fast in the NFL to survive on that. Now it helps if you can throw, obviously, but I gotta see him progress as a passer before I'm, you know, all in on it. Maybe the Bears are the right thing because it doesn't matter, right? Like they got enough capital to where next year they could probably, you know, get a quarterback that's available as well. So
right, you've got Caleb Williams from USC that's going to be coming out. So that could be because you know that Carolina's not going to be playing whoever they take. Either it's going to be Stroud or. Kid from Alabama, the name's escaping me.
What does that say for Matt Corral, though? Like, what I mean,
well, you got to think he's going to be the starter, right? Because I wouldn't imagine they're going to throw their newbie out there. Now, granted, Corral's kind of a newbie too because he has no experience. So yeah. That probably means that the first round pick that they got for next year is going to be top 10 as well. So they can make that luxury of, hey, maybe we can kind of wait and see. But also, let me ask you this: how good was the offensive line that Justin Fields had last year? Right now they can invest in that because they don't have to go after a quarterback. They got the number 9 pick. They got so many future first. Yeah. Maybe they can invest in that offensive line to really make sure that we're evaluating how good Justin Fields is, and then we can start evaluating the defense because the defense was even worse. I mean, they think they were allowing 29 points per game last year.
Yeah, well, they got as far as O line goes, they weren't great, but they ran the ball well, so. You know, that I think they've missed on a couple guys. They had a few of their later picks in their plan, but they just, they definitely need to get a better line. But man, they started depleting their whole team. You know, their defense, they start selling all their guys away. So they have a ton of assets, but that really doesn't mean anything unless the person, you know, picking and buying is doing the right thing. So, you know, it makes polls where he's got to perform here, right? He's got a ton of money to spend, a ton of assets to pick, and man, you just hope it works out the right way, or you are freaking. I mean, you're toast. I personally would have liked to seen them go Bryce Young, but you know, that's just me. I think he's going to be a pretty good passer in the NFL.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting to see. Now, you know, my Dolphins. I don't know if you saw what they did yesterday, but they picked up Jalen Ramsey for a third round pick and a backup tight end, Hunter Long, as the Rams continue to try to shed assets to get to where they're able to compete once again.
Yeah.
The Dolphins are going all in, it looks like, right? They picked up the fifth year option on Tua. They obviously picked up Jalen Ramsey, who's now going to be on the other side of Xavier Howard. You know, give me another linebacker. We got Vic Fangio. As you were there with Fangio, weren't you?
Yeah, I'm gonna tell you right now. So Vic Fangio, I did not. He went to the Dolphins. I did not realize he went to the Dolphins.
Yes, he went to the Dolphins.
Well, congrats to Vic for getting near really good golf courses because the dude golfs more than anybody I know. But I will tell you this: that year, so I love Matt Nagy, great guy, unbelievable guy. But that year we went 12-4 was equally, you know, Vic Fangio. He is the best defense. Him and Todd Bowles are tight. You know, tied for my best defense coordinator in the NFL, but man, Vic Fangio, he is unbelievable. Like the Dolphins defense will be savage with him there. Yeah, and I'm glad they got it. He requires good corners. He definitely requires good corners in his defense, but his scheme is, man, it's simple, but it's very, very sound. There's a very sound defense. And for whatever reason, man, it creates a ton of turnovers and a ton of sacks. And that year in Chicago was because of him. Our offense was ranked 21st in the league.
Khalil Mack was just 12-4. Yep. And that defense, man. Oof. Yeah.
Yep.
So, yeah, so I'm excited about that. It should be pretty interesting to see there. So, yeah, you know, let's hear from one more sponsor. You know, Brad and Chad Show, also you're brought to you by, you know, Nest and Wild Mattresses, created by Southern Craftsmen, powered by decades of experience, passion for improving your quality of sleep, backed up by a 99-night guarantee. They'll help you sleep easy and made locally in Tupelo, Mississippi. You can find them on Amazon or nestandwild.com. I do have one more thing that I want to ask you regarding the NFL. What's your take on Aaron Rodgers? Not just where he's going, but, man, it feels like the Brett Favre situation all over again in Green Bay, right? Yeah. As much crap as Brett Favre got, it feels like the exact same thing. Aaron Rodgers is doing will he or won't he? He's doing these four-day dark room hiatuses, smoking ayahuasca or whatever to figure out what hell he wants to do with his life.
He's a prime example of one of those dudes who got so rich he became lost in the sauce. Like, I mean, dude, ain't even the same human being he was, you know, 4 or 5 years ago. And it's just weird. I don't know, man. Maybe it's because they're in the spotlight this long, you know, and this happens with a lot of athletes, right? Like they just get weird. They get rich and weird. They get extremely rich like him and get really weird and feel like they have to be a certain way. And like, I mean, now this is just like I mean, I was listening to him talk the other day on the Pat McAfee show, and I'm like, "What? This dude ain't even the same guy." Like, I'm a big Aaron Rodgers fan. I actually think that that he's, you know, he's an unbelievable quarterback. I know Larry Fitzgerald used to tell me all the time when he would go to the Pro Bowl, Aaron Rodgers was the most accurate quarterback he's ever been around. Just would like put the ball on the money, like on spots that he couldn't believe. So I've always been a big fan of his, and I hate that guys like that, Aaron Rodgers, you know, the Tom Brady's, the Drew Brees's, like that was kind of Peyton Manning. That's kind of what we grew up watching. Those are kind of like fizzling out. But yeah, Aaron Rodgers is on some other shit, man. Like he's just a weird dude now. And I think he still has some good ball left in him. He just needs to change the scenery, right? Like Green Bay is, I just want to see him with a whole new change.
It feels like Jets. It feels like Jets. It feels like that's where he's going to end up, right? The Jets are desperate.
Which he would be, I think that move would be more for his career than it would be actually the Jets. You know, being in New York, he goes there and has some success. It's just like LeBron in LA. Like, it hasn't been all that great for him out there, but I'm sure from an off the court standpoint, it's been great for him. Whereas Aaron Rodgers in New York, I mean, it's going to create a freaking nutso buzz there for him, you know. So he's been doing all this in Green Bay, where, you mean, when you go play Green Bay, you go stay in Appleton, Wisconsin, at this little Red Lion Inn. It's the worst hotel ever, and there's like nothing there. You go pull up on the stadium in the middle of a neighborhood. So he's been a superstar at a smaller market, so to speak. And dude, New York would be a great fit for him.
Yeah, I think the league season opens up on Wednesday, so you're going to start seeing a lot of free agents moving all over the place.
I saw where Laramie Tunsil was potentially going to get traded to the Chiefs or something like that too. That would be that'd be awesome.
I saw where your guy Matt Nagy is now the offensive coordinator with Bieniemy going to Washington now.
Well, it makes sense, man. You could put anybody there. With Andy Reid's the man. I mean, he runs the whole thing, and you know, every coordinator that's been there with him. I mean, that's a title in my mind. It's a title and a pay raise. They love Coach Nagy. I mean, the whole story of how Nagy was found is insane. I mean, it was Andy Reid who found him. He was sitting in model homes selling.
Really?
You know, you walk into like a model home. He was sitting in a model home selling homes. This was like 10, 12 years ago too. This was crazy. And he was a quarterback. They invited him to training camp, and he went there, was like a backup quarterback or something. I think this was the Eagles. He ended up leaving, going home, and then when he came back, they basically Andy Reid just called him randomly. He's sitting in his model home. He used to tell a story all the time. He's sitting in his model home, giving somebody a tour. Andy Reid calls him. He's like, "Hey, you want to come? You know, you want to come be a coach for the Eagles?" He's like, "Yeah." So in that, I think it took him like 6 years. He was there for like 6 years, maybe even. I don't know. I'm probably wrong on some of these numbers, but he was a head coach in like 6 or 7 years. So he's Andy Reid's like son almost. You know, I mean, Andy Reid kind of found him. And it's a neat his story is actually really neat, how he became a head coach so fast. And he probably was a little early for him, but hell, he did fine. I mean, he didn't nail some of the draft picks, and he didn't produce on offense. So he's a great guy, though. I mean, they're in a guy that you would rather hang out with than him. I mean, he is a freaking cool ass dude.
I wonder if they obviously they're still going to have more success, because anytime you have Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, you know, you're going to see success. I wonder if that's going to – if he's going to have to move off like Bieniemy did to Washington, where he's also the offensive coordinator, before you start seeing that, okay, it's not just Andy Reid. I'm really fascinated to see how Bieniemy does in Washington, because it has been peculiar that he hasn't even gotten a head coaching job after what's been going on with Patrick Mahomes. So I wonder if that's going to – obviously that's going to give Nagy a nice little pay bump being up to an offensive coordinator, but I wonder if he's going to have to do the same thing before he –
Well, that's a tough spot to be in, right? Like you become a head coach, you do decent for the first couple of years in Chicago, you make a pot of money, you make 24 or whatever. I think you made probably $30 million somewhere in there. And then all of a sudden things go bad and you're still 40. I mean, I would guess Matt Nagy's in his early 40s maybe, maybe mid. So now you can coach for the next 30 years, or – Do you start over, and you know, do you have to go back all the way through the process, right? You have to come in, be a quarterback's coach or whatever. And like, you know, maybe it takes him another 10 years to get a head coaching gig. But at that point, it's kind of like, man, would you just be satisfied? You've already made your $30 million, right?
Yeah,
I can go make 1.5 or 1.8 and be the quarterback's coach or the offense coordinator and under Andy Reid. I mean, dude, he's already set, right? I mean, I'm sure his goal – I know how competitive he is. I'm sure his goal is to be a head coach again. But, you know, he's in a great situation. I mean, he's on a good team, you know, working with a specialized group with a great player. Like, dude, he's set. I mean, this dude's he's good to go.
Yeah. So, I think, we'll keep, we'll keep talking about NFL as the off season continues, but we'll also keep you up to date on what's going on with the Ole Miss basketball team, right? Now that the transfer portal is going to open up on that front, we should have some good news on what Chris Beard's doing, what kind of assistant coaches he's going to be bringing in. So stick with us, right? Like and subscribe wherever you get the Brad and Chad Show, whether it's YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcast, right? Also comment. Let us know what you want to hear about. Give us some feedback. If you think I'm full of shit regarding my Chris Beard takes, I'd love to hear about it because you wouldn't be the first person or the last person to tell me that. So like and subscribe. Thank you to our sponsors, Blue Delta Jeans, Nest and Wild Mattresses, Jeff Griffin with the Stevenson Griffin Group. Thank you again. Bradley, have a good week. Hotty toddy, my man.
Yes, yeah. Hotty toddy.
Thanks for listening to the Brad and Chad Show. Follow the boys on social media for more content. And don't forget to like and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. This has been an OM Network production brought to you by Blue Delta Jeans, made in the USA.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.